So, good morning. It's 10:16 a.m. Tuesday, March the 6th, 2018. It's another breezy day, although it's not as bad as it was yesterday. I've had my oatmeal. I've had my breakfast. I finished a second draft. Don't get too excited. I have to do the conversion. Get it in an ebook format. Perhaps tomorrow. Those words you've been waiting for, perhaps they'll be tomorrow. Today I'm just sort of... I've got a lot of work I got to do today. And I still have to do some chores. I have to do some errands. I have to take the kid to therapy, which means I will get an opportunity to go to the grocery store today, which is good. I went yesterday and thought, okay, I don't have to go for a couple of days. Got home and discovered that while I have potatoes, I have two potatoes. Which meant we did chili last night. Maybe we'll do chili again tonight. Kids are really fond of chili with boiled potatoes. Yeah, well, you make the chili, of course. Generally, when I make it, it comes out a little bit soupy. Which is why I serve it generally with rice, because the rice sucks up the soupiness. But one night I went to make it and realized that I was out of rice. But I had potatoes, so I boiled some potatoes and threw some potatoes in it. And let the potatoes simmer in the spicy broth. It was quite good. And now it's been a regular request for chili with potatoes. I don't have a lot to talk about today. To begin with, I don't want to talk about the book anymore because I don't want to... I don't want to get everybody stirred up because maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day before I finally get it into the shape that I want. And I don't want to color the pool any more than I already have about what the story might be or what my reservations are about it. This, to be honest, having gone through the entire book in the last 2 days, well, 3 days, counting Sunday, Monday, I spent 6 hours on it this morning. Yes, I was up at 3 o'clock. I don't know why. Cat crying outside the door. I woke up and thought, I would like a cup of coffee. And I need to silence that cat before he wakes anyone else up. So I was up, it was quiet in the house. I whipped through the last third of the book. There was some minor cleanup I had to do. Freddie just got done saying I wasn't going to talk about the book. Anyway. This may be the book I'm least concerned about. Having spent so much time with it, I think. It's like... it'll be fine. It's actually a pretty good story, I think. Unlike the others where I have a lot of doubt about it, I don't have that much doubt about this one. Which is probably why it's going to come back from the betas going... No. I don't think that's going to happen, but you can't help but have a little bit of that working in the back of your brain. Book number 14. I think it's better than book number 13. It's hard to compare them. More accurately to compare it to book number 12. I'm pretty sure it's a lot better than Milk Run. There's nothing wrong with Milk Run, but there's a lot of scattershot in Milk Run. And a lot of the scattered shot got kept. Or maybe, perhaps it shouldn't have, I don't know. There are three loose ends in this book. And I've left them. I don't know if I have to tie them off or not. We'll see. Big hood back. It's not quite as breezy down here, at least for the moment. And I'm working up quite a good sweat. So, truth is, I should try to find some clean clothes to put on, I suspect. But, be that as it may. Onward, onward, ever onward. So, yeah, I need to get the next book going. I need to think about Home Run. Home Run will be the next book. I really do need to tie off this storyline. Because I don't want it coming back to color me or to be colored by darkness. So I need to finish this one up, and then I can go into darkness with a relatively clean slate. Yes, I know I still have Cape Grace to do. But that's pretty much it. If I get Suicide Run out, or when I get Suicide Run out, that only leaves Home Run and Darkness. And then I can look at Cape Grace again. I can look at going back to Tanith Fairport's world and seeing what I can do there. Picked up a couple of new readers. I met a couple of fans, people who were fans of Tanith Fairport while I was at the Smarter Artist. Of course, they were all writers as well, but... Well, no, she was... The big Tanith fan was the spouse of one of the writers. And we were talking about different stories and how... You know, I was looking for stories that I could tell that weren't the same story that everybody always tells. And we talk about Tanith and how it was a challenge for NaNoWriMo, et cetera, et cetera. The story you've all heard like 600 times now. I'm not going to repeat it one more time. At least not here, not now. Maybe another day. So she was saying, well, that sounds pretty interesting. So I gave her a card and it had the Ravenwood cover on it. And she said, okay, I'll look this up. She grabbed a sample. She got about halfway through the sample and bought the book. Finished it. And killed her Kindle. She had to go back to her room and charge up her Kindle so she could keep reading. And went out and bought the next two. Because she wanted to see what happened in the story. And her husband is a science fiction writer. Ran into me later in the conference and said, "Thank you." She's gonna try science fiction again. She doesn't like science fiction, but she really likes Tanith Fairport. So She's going to get into science fiction again. And that's just cool. Which I thought was also just cool. It's like, all right, yeah. You know, I have a lot of people who don't read science fiction who read Ishmael Huang. Okay. This is good. I'm good with that. So I have to come up with a topic. Changing gears. Lane shift. Monk post. Okay, there's the monk post. I have to come up for a topic with a topic for my Colorado Gold proposal. I'm only going to put in one this year because I don't want to get saddled with three again. I need to come up with a topic for next month's blog post. I've got a blog post coming up Friday. I need to put a graphic on. Shoot, that reminds me. I have to put a graphic on it. They really want you to put a graphic on it. I don't know why. We're writers. If we can't deal with words, then what are we doing? I gotta look for a clip art of thumbs up. Because I revisited Yes's conditional and couched it in a slightly different frame, so. What I'd like to find is a GIF that goes from thumbs up to thumbs down and thumbs up to thumbs down. Although that sort of implies once you get thumbs down, then you can actually go back up to thumbs up, which is, as we all know, not. Anderson replacement windows. How's it going? Doing good. How about you? The installer. I should probably be doing that. I'd really like to find some way to just replace the drop-in windows that we have. Because I really like the style. I don't want to replace them with a more common sash type window, which is generally what goes in place of it. Anyway, so I gotta come up with a topic. I'm thinking of the intersection between social media and marketing again, some more still. I was called to task yesterday in my role as moderator on Google Plus community for suggesting someone who spent a lot of time telling me about all of the different ways that they could find her book and how her son was doing all of the social media marketing and how well it was going. And I looked up her book and it was, okay, 3.5, a sales rank of 3.5 million does not actually match my notion of it's doing really well. To begin with, anything over a million, and there are now 7 million ebooks on Amazon. When I started, it was 700,000, so there's 10 times more now than there was 5 years ago. And so I welcomed her to the community and suggested that she make friends, not sales. And so she asked me to expound on it. So I did. I gave her a little, my usual talk about make friends, not sales. Friends will buy your books. Pushing for sales has a tendency to alienate potential readers. So if you alienate them for the first book or the second book, then they won't even learn about the third book. And the third book might be the one that they want. And I logged back later and they had tagged me in a reply. It's like, how dare you accuse us of spamming? And it was, they had deleted my original comment. They had the sun. This is the sun. Capital S. Which I thought was amusing, because I'm pretty sure he's not that son. No matter how good he is in social media. And, so, what did you mean by that? I already told you. This is, well, yes, but the fact remains that you insulted us by saying we were spamming. And I think, well, actually, I'm sorry that you interpreted that my comments were caused you to be upset. It was not my intention to accuse you of anything. Because I'm a moderator, if I thought you were spamming, I would have removed your post before it ever appeared. So, if I had really thought that, your post would never have appeared and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But that I saw it as one of the many lessons that I often pass on to new readers or new writers who come to the community. Along with the fastest way to build an audience is to borrow one. And he gave a long reply about how he's been professionally trained in social media and that he's well aware of how to use the channels. That he prefers to use value, by offering value to his readership to create interest. I was amused, to say the least, because someone professionally trained in social media would obviously miss the lesson on not pissing off the moderator on the first time you post. And they do a lot of spamming. They do a lot of social media spamming. They'll put the same post to multiple communities at the same time, which causes it to appear in the spam traps. Which isn't me making a judgment, it's Google saying, these people are pushing the same message out to multiple communities in a very short period of time. You might want to look very closely at what they're doing. Which we do. And, of course, we're one of the few communities, well, we're actually a few of the few communities, who do that, because I moderate three of them, and we're really picky. If I even get a whiff of Hormel, you're out of there. I don't have time to deal with it. So we went back and forth, and his rhetoric kept ratcheting up and ratcheting up and ratcheting up. It's like, dude, I just want everybody to be successful. I'm sorry I mishandled the communication in a way that made you feel like I was attacking you, which I was not. Eventually he backed down, but that made me think that the enlightenment regarding push versus pull has not yet reached the masses. Maybe I'll write something on that. At any rate, here I am. At the back gate, about to go in and get warm and a fresh cup of coffee. And tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.